Good afternoon. This is the 2 o'clock session of the Portland City Council for Thursday, October 15th, 2009. Mayor Adams is out of town. And so we are here to... Commissioner Leonard is back in town, which we're very glad about. I missed you. Ms. Moloff, please read the title for item 1439.
Should we take a roll call first?
Oh, that's right, too.
Leonard?
Here.
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Adams?
All right, now we do the title.
1439, authorize a community policing agreement with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Madam President. Before we begin this afternoon, I would like to request a motion to amend this item to accept a substitute for Exhibit A, which I think Carla has distributed or will distribute to us. Oh, yeah. We have it right here. These are minor and grammatical and formatting changes that were made after the document was filed with the clerk. So, love to have a motion. I'll move to substitute, I guess. I can do that.
Second.
Okay, great. So we have that on the table.
Do we vote on that?
Normally.
We vote to accept mm-hmm. the amendment so that people can then comment on it. So please call the roll on the amendment.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye. And we'll take comments on both sections.
Okay, thank you. Portland is recognized internationally for our commitment to integrating bicycling, walking, and mass transit into our transportation system. Our success at increasing cycling and pedestrian use has not come without its challenges. Today's agreement between the Portland Police Bureau, the Bureau of Transportation, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, and the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition establishes a framework to identify and to address these challenges and problem areas. This collaborative approach will focus on planning, education, enforcement, and engineering solutions to promote safe access for all modes of transportation. The agreement will include joint development of legislative initiatives, agreement on the locations where greater safety needs exist, improved data collection processes to accurately inform the community of safety trends. And these strategies and programs identified through this agreement will then be reexamined and brought back for renewal on an annual basis. This is the next step, I believe, in Portland's evolution as a leader in multimodal transportation and community policing. So before I invite up our presentation panel, I do want to recognize that this agreement was led by the Bureau's behalf by Portland Police Captain Eric Hendricks. Captain Hendricks, as many of you know, was in a serious auto accident with his wife coming back from the coast a few weeks ago. He is expected to recover, but he has a long road ahead of him. And I just want to say that we are thinking of him and we are wishing for him to get well soon. So I will now, at this time, I'd like to bring up our presentation panel, Lieutenant Brian Parman, Michelle Peru of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, Steph Roth, of Executive Director of the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, and Greg Reisman of the Portland Bureau of Transportation. And after this presentation, Officer Robert Pickett will join us to introduce a new training video for the Portland Police Bureau. So, Lieutenant Parman, start with you.
Good afternoon. My name is Brian Parman. I'm a lieutenant with the Police Bureau, and I'm currently the acting captain of the Traffic Division. Madam President and Council, I am happy to be here today to help present this community policing agreement for your consideration. Over the last several years, the City of Portland has seen a shift in the transportation options chosen by our citizens. More and more, citizens are opting to walk or bike rather than drive. As these more vulnerable road users are added to our system, the demand for safe and equitable travel increases. The Police Bureau and the Bureau of Transportation have partnered with the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition and the Bicycle Transportation Alliance in order to tap into their perspective of the needs of our transportation system. Overall, what we have found is we all want the same thing. Each of us is here today because we want our transportation system to be safe and comfortable to use, regardless of the mode of transportation you choose. This community policing agreement will formalize our partnership and set forth a process for identifying areas in our transportation system that have the greatest need for improvement. By working together on these areas, our efforts will make the best use of scarce resources in order to make the greatest impact on our roadways. The Police Bureau is excited to be a partner in this effort, and we look forward to continuing to develop this partnership as we move forward from today.
Joe?
Good afternoon, Council President and Commissioners. My name is Michelle Poirot, and I'm an advocate and educator with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance. It's the BTA's pleasure to be speaking to you today about this one more step we have taken with the City of Portland towards making our roadways safe and accessible and improving the health of our communities. Over the past 2 years, we have worked collaboratively to address problem areas that are particularly dangerous or that generate conflict with education, engineering, and enforcement. Enforcement might include citations, warnings, or invitations to attend the Share the Road safety class for a reduced fine. Last summer, the BTA partnered with the Police Bureau to educate Portland residents about the requirement that they use front lights on their bikes. Officers distributed free lights to people who were riding without them. The BTA focused our outreach and education efforts, meanwhile, on the same topic. And then the Police Bureau focused enforcement on warning and citing those people who still had not gotten the message. Meanwhile, the Community Cycling Center also gives away hundreds of bike lights to unlit cyclists every year as part of their Get Lit program. This year, the BTA helped the Bureau and the City Attorney's Office develop a roll call video for Portland police officers, which you will see shortly. Also this year, the Police Bureau did an exceptional job of policing many of the events associated with Pedalpalooza, a two-week cultural festival that has become one of Portland's major summer attractions. These examples are the products of a great collaboration among bureaus and organizations with shared traffic safety goals. We look forward to continuing this collaboration with future projects next year and far into the future. Thank you very much for supporting the Police Bureau and the Bureau of Transportation in this approach and leading this city towards a healthier, safer future.
Good afternoon, President and Council. I'm Steph Routh, the director of the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition. an organization that works to make walking safe and attractive for everyone through education, empowerment, and advocacy. The WPC is proud to stand today with the Portland Police Bureau, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, to solidify this partnership to make our streets safer. We are also deeply grateful to other community leaders who have helped promote this framework of collaboration. As one shining example, the group We Are All Traffic, represented here today by Susie Kubota and Aaron Greeson, has helped propel ongoing dialogue for traffic safety through their dedication and spirit. For pedestrians, and we are all pedestrians at some point in our day, this agreement means an integrated approach to advocacy, policy, education, and enforcement to better serve Portland. We have seen success through strategic pedestrian safety enforcement actions and look forward to working with PBOT, the police, and the BTA toward our common goal of safer streets for everyone.
Council President and Council, thank you for the opportunity to thank all of our partners for this really important accomplishment and agreement. Portland has a proud history of comprehensive approach to traffic safety that includes engineering, education, and enforcement. And this project really encompasses all of that and helps push us further down the road to making our city as safe and livable as it can be. I should introduce myself. I'm sorry. I'm Greg Raisman. I'm a traffic safety specialist with the Portland Bureau of Transportation. We use a 3E approach to our traffic safety, engineering, education, and enforcement, as I mentioned, and a multimodal approach of reducing driver error, bicycle and pedestrian safety, and safe routes to school. And it's through these types of community partnerships that we're able to really push the bar on how safe we can make our neighborhoods and our commercial streets and how livable we can make it to live in Portland. Portland really should be proud of what our community has accomplished with traffic safety. We're on a general 22-year downward trend with traffic fatalities. Really hit a watershed in 2008 with the lowest number of total traffic fatalities in the city of Portland's history, with a record that goes to 1925 and a trend that is six times faster than the rest of the country. And if we don't include Portland in the numbers, about seven times faster than the state as a whole in terms of reductions in traffic fatalities. And we're also seeing reductions in injuries. And these are across modes. The largest reductions have actually been for motor vehicle occupants, but we've seen a number of years with zero bicycle fatalities, and last year was also our lowest number of pedestrian fatalities ever. So it's agreements like these and partnerships that are as strong as this that help us do our job and help us work together to bring our expertise and community understanding to the table. So thank you very much for all the support and leadership that the council has provided in enabling us to have a model traffic safety program that's looked at around the world as seeing one of the biggest reductions in injuries and fatalities while seeing one of the biggest increases in multimodal transportation of any city on the planet. Thank you.
If there's no questions, we'll have Officer Pickett come up and show us the roll call video.
Questions from council? Thank you.
Thank you all.
Madam President and Council, my name is Robert Pickett. I'm the Bicycle Liaison Officer for the Portland Police Bureau. I'm also the Vice Chairperson for the City of Portland's Bicycle Advisory Committee. There was a traffic stop last spring on Northeast Ainsworth Street involving two people riding two bikes, and a patrol officer that led to disagreement over the applicability of one of the traffic laws as it relates to bicycles. In response, the Police Bureau offered to make a training video to help remind officers about some bicycle-specific traffic laws and to advise officer discretion in use of enforcement resources. We'd like to present this video to you today, produced by the Portland Police Bureau's Training Division in cooperation with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance and the Bureau of Transportation, with important help from Deputy City Attorney David Woberill, as well as members of the City of Portland's Bicycle Advisory Committee. This is a perfect example of the positive results of collaborative work among agencies and individuals. And just as on a side note, in the spirit of collaboration, when we start the video, you'll see that Michelle Poirot and I do a short introduction, and that my hair is flying around in the wind. And in the spirit of collaboration, Michelle offered to give me a hairpin to put my hair down, but I thought, no, I'm kind of too tough for that. And clearly, I have some more to learn about taking advice from other people.
Great. Well, with that build up, video roll.
Hi, I'm Robert Pickett with the Portland Police Bureau.
And I'm Michelle Poirot with the Bicycle Transportation Alliance.
The video you're about to see was meant to inform Portland police officers about the City of Portland's bicycle transportation policy and remind them about some of Oregon's bicycle-related traffic laws. As you can see, the Oregon Vehicle Code is quite hefty. As a police officer, I'd be the first to admit that such reminders can be quite valuable.
Also, the widespread popularity of bicycling is relatively new to Portland and to the Portland Police Bureau. Helping officers hone their skills and their knowledge about common bike enforcement situations is one of the ways the Bureau can help make bicycling even safer and more comfortable than it is today.
This video is also meant to advise officers' discretion in bicycle enforcement situations. Discretion is an indispensable part of police work, as it allows officers to reasonably apply a written code to the huge variety of specific enforcement situations they encounter every day. We expect officers to take the suggestions in this video as advice and not as a mandate. And the members of the public should not interpret any part of this video as exempting them from following the letter of the law.
If you'd like to learn more about bike laws or take a free class on urban biking skills, come visit us at the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, www.bta4bikes.org.
This video was created with the valuable advice and help of the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, the City of Portland Bureau of Transportation, and the City of Portland's Bicycle Advisory Committee.
Over the past decade, the City of Portland has invested in bicycle infrastructure and programs with the goal of increasing bicycle ridership. The hope is to decrease vehicle emissions, congestion, and road wear while increasing the fitness and sense of community of Portland citizens. This policy has resulted in a dramatic increase in trips taken by bicycle since 2000 and a significant change in Portland's bicycling culture. The outlaw edginess that was a prominent part of the old scene is being overwhelmed by a flood of mainstream citizens who bike for health, thrift, the environment, and fun. The biggest concern of the typical rider is safety. The biggest concern of the typical motorist is that bike riders be predictable. Regardless of their chosen vehicle, citizens look to you for guidance on how to share the road safely. Recently, a group of bike-savvy patrol and traffic officers met to propose enforcement guidelines for you for some common bike traffic enforcement scenarios. In helping to inform your discretion, an emphasis was placed not on the strict letter of the law, but on enforcement that best uses scarce resources to promote safe sharing of our roads.
The group suggests you use four criteria to determine enforcement priority: available law, safety, sharing, and education. Let's apply these criteria to a few of the more problematic scenarios officers face. One of the biggest problem areas has been the right hook. In general, the responsibility for avoiding collisions between cars and bikes in a bike lane falls on drivers. ORS provides the right-of-way to bikes in bike lanes. However, bicycles can forfeit this right-of-way through extreme behavior. Examples of dangerous bicyclist behavior may include a bicyclist riding in excess of the speed limit and disregarding a car's turn signal, or riding with no bike light or reflectors at night. Examples of dangerous driver behavior include distractions such as cell phone use, making no effort to look for bikes, being ignorant of the rules, or not using a turn signal. This is a flashpoint for rider-driver relations because of the number of conflicts and the vulnerability of people riding bikes. Portland bike planning and policy depends on drivers becoming better at avoiding conflicts when turning across bike lanes.
These situations present a difficult challenge for the police bureau because the public often expects us to determine civil fault at these scenes, and they look at citation decisions as a public announcement of who was right and who was wrong. Officers do perform an important function by collecting information and evidence for the eventual civil parties, but as with almost all traffic work, whether you write a citation or not should depend on your evaluation of the need to affect the future behavior of the driver, bicyclist, and the public at large.
Oregon statutes prohibit impeding traffic require that bicyclists generally stay as close as practicable to the edge of a roadway and use bike lanes or bike paths when available. However, these statutes also allow bikes to leave the edge of the roadway, leave a bike lane, or move from one side of a multi-lane road to the other in order to avoid hazards, pass, or make a turn. These laws are vague enough that judges and officers have not been able to agree on consistent enforcement. The Portland Bureau of Transportation educates bike riders to operate away from bike lanes or the edges of the roadway when necessary for safety. The Bureau of Transportation has also designed many miles of bicycle boulevards, which prioritize the movement of bicycles, usually resulting in calmer, safer operation of all vehicles. It is expected that bicyclists will operate reasonably with regard for other road users and cross lanes of traffic when they can articulate a safety reason for doing so. The group feels it is best to watch a rider's behavior to determine if the rider and cars are sharing the road in a reasonable manner. Before making a citation decision, ask a rider the reason for taking a lane when other options seem to be available. All in all, given Portland's desire to have motor vehicles become accustomed to bikes in the travel lane, we feel that impeding should be a low enforcement priority unless a biker intends to inconvenience drivers. Look at the totality of circumstances and remember that the Oregon Careless Driving Law can be used to address dangerous lane changes and transits as well.
You may encounter large groups of bicyclists traveling to or between events. Themed group rides are becoming more common in Portland during the warmer months, and especially in June during the 2 weeks of Pedalpalooza. At first glance, the groups may resemble critical mass, but they are often nothing like it. These aren't protests aimed at traffic disruption, but are semi-organized processions of good-humored fun seekers who don't want confrontation with law enforcement.
You have the authority to direct traffic on city streets, so these groups must follow your directions on how to use the road. Your goal should be the safe and efficient movement of these large groups with minimal disruption to other modes of traffic. Typically, it will be best to limit the group to using one lane of a multi-lane road. To move the groups through intersections quickly and minimize traffic conflicts, you should require the lead to stop at stop signs and then allow en masse passage as long as there's no conflict with cross traffic. In general, you should require a group to obey traffic lights and shouldn't allow them to block cross traffic when the cross traffic has a green light. This will break some groups up, but avoids what has been a volatile flashpoint of conflict with cross traffic. However, if you feel the goal is better served by blocking cross traffic, you also have that discretion. Blocking traffic can support a discon charge, while use of multiple lanes may support citations for impeding or improper lane usage. Officers who need to alter the behavior of a group ride might first attempt to communicate with a ride leader about their concerns. Policing large groups of mobile bicyclists is a specialty, and you should bring in a traffic officer if you have any questions about how to manage one of these events.
Much like speed enforcement, the question is how to spread our enforcement resources in a way that does the most good. ORS 811-265 gives you clear authority to cite when a bicycle or a car doesn't come to a complete stop, just like the speed laws allow a citation for 36 miles per hour in a 35. With stop sign running, the danger obviously increases as the speed increases. In addition, damage is done to the confidence of all road users in their ability to safely share the road. The group feels that a bicyclist's speed and apparent care should guide you in deciding whether to cite. If a cyclist approaches an intersection at walking pace or less and is attentive, enforcement resources may best be used elsewhere. There should be a significant enforcement interest once the speed is above a walking pace or if the cyclist is not looking. And enforcement should be a very high priority when stop signs are blown at high speed or in a reckless manner.
Some other problem areas identified by the group of patrol and traffic officers include drivers passing bicyclists too closely at speeds above 35 miles an hour, no lights on bikes at night, failure of bicyclists to yield to pedestrians, and the running of red lights. All of these behaviors can be very dangerous and lead to serious accidents. They create considerable tension between road users of all kinds, which leads to increased conflict and often to confrontations that escalate out of hand. In these cases, if your discussion with a violator doesn't give you confidence that the behavior will not be repeated, our officers advise that enforcement through citation should be a high priority.
Okay, I guess that's it. Although, I think we have a few people signed up to testify, but
we've got five people signed up. Okay. First three, please come on up. Ruth Hirschfield, Aaron Greason, and Susan Kubota.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. You each have 3 minutes to make your comments. We just want your first and last name, no address, please.
Council President and Council Members, I am Ruth Hirschfield. I'm the Executive Director for the Alliance for Community Traffic Safety, and we are a nonprofit that works statewide to promote traffic safety. And I'm here just to commend all of this effort to create a collaborative, comprehensive program. We work statewide to share with communities examples of projects that work well, approaches that work well to impact traffic safety in their communities. And we often refer to Portland and the wonderful work that you're doing here to share with them how to do these things in their own community. So I'm just here today to commend you and also to support the community policing agreement.
Good afternoon. My name is Erin Greason, and I am a co-founder of the group We Are All Traffic. In October 2007, a wave of traffic fatalities and injuries impacted many members of our community. Families, friends, and strangers shared in a collective sense of grief toward the unnecessary loss of bright and remarkable lives. Simultaneously, controversy about road users and traffic legality sent waves of conflict throughout the community, adding layers of discord to a devastating time. During this troubling period in our city's history, a grassroots citizens coalition called We Are All Traffic was born. Comprised of citizens from diverse sectors, our group was founded on the shared belief that traffic is comprised of people, not categories such as cyclists, motorists, and pedestrians. Our mission is to make roads safe, respectable, enjoyable for all who share them. And our method is direct action. 2 years ago, we called upon city leaders and citizens to join us in demanding safer streets. Hundreds gathered, listened, and engaged despite downpour conditions at our outdoor City Hall press conference and community rally beneath the Hawthorne Bridge. The local media listened, and their coverage of traffic conflict shifted from a sensational bikes versus cars tone toward more sensitive reporting about shared road conditions and the community losses that we were going through at that time. Our city's leaders also listened, as evident in immediate subsequent actions and as we gather today to address the Community Policing Transportation Safety Agreement. Your role in this monumental collaborative effort sets an example for our community members to consider as we go about our daily lives and navigate Portland streets. Strong leadership is a requirement for positive change. Throughout my involvement with We Are All Traffic, I have had the honor to work with community members who have emerged as some of the most influential activists in our city's recent history, including the individual to my right, Susan Kubota. On behalf of We Are All Traffic, I would like to thank the many civic leaders and collaborators who developed this provision to protect all people who share the road. The conditions of our diverse transportation ecosystem will continue to improve thanks to your current efforts and ongoing commitment. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you give me an example of what your organization is going to do to help support this community policing agreement?
I think that we'll continue to work on looking for opportunities to influence influencers, if you will, and also to debunk myths and stereotypes that are propagated through the media and other channels that tend to categorize cyclists, road users, vehicle operators. We're all people just trying to get to where we'd like to go safely. I, for one, bike most days. I drove today. I also enjoy walking across a crosswalk very safely. And it's our job to debunk some of those myths and stop the categorization of people and prompt collaboration. So we're here and available if there's anything that we can do to support any of these efforts and drive them forward.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, commissioners. I'm Dr. Susan Kubota, anesthesiologist and kind of safety advocate. 2 years ago, my sister's only daughter, Tracy Sparling, was crushed by a cement truck while riding legally in the bike lane at 14th and Burnside. At the time, my shock, disbelief, and pain was compounded by an apparently indifferent official response from the Portland Police Bureau. The statements from the then bureau spokesman implied, if you are a pedestrian or a cyclist on the road, it is at your own risk, and that it was not reasonable to expect safety. At the time, I publicly criticized the bureau and the media's portrayal of this tragedy. In the aftermath of the tragic events of that year, we have seen a remarkable change in the bureau's approach under Chief Sizer's leadership. The collaboration between the Portland Police Bureau, the Portland Bureau of Transportation, the BTA, and the WPC is a positive and encouraging and will improve the safety of all those who travel the streets of Portland and will protect the growing number of vulnerable road users. The transformation has been remarkable. The Portland Bureau of Transportation acted quickly after these events by deploying bike boxes throughout the city and by eliminating the dangerous right-hand turn at Greeley and altering auto traffic at other high-risk areas. The new Portland Police Training Video Outlining Enforcement Guidelines signals a significant and commendable change in attitude and commitment to the safety of cyclists on our roads. The Community Policing Transportation Safety Agreement is a written directive to protect all of the users of our public rights of way with infrastructure, education, and enforcement. I applaud the Portland Police Bureau, the City of Portland, the BTA and WPC for formally declaring a shared commitment to protecting us all, no matter how we travel these streets. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Last two who signed up are Tara Krugel and Michael Morrison.
And if anybody else wants to testify, we have a third seat. Come on up. Welcome. Thank you for coming down today.
Madam President, council members, my name is Tara Krugel. I'm the Civic Engagement Coordinator with Elders in Action. I'm here on behalf of the Elders in Action Commission with a brief statement from them. 34% of seniors 65 and older do not drive. That number increases for lower-income seniors who are unable to afford a car and the upkeep they require. This is one of the many reasons that Portland is a great city to live in for older adults. With the city's commitment to bicycling, walking, and mass transit, and the good work that the many partners in this room, we're creating a livable community where seniors can travel throughout the city safely for their basic services, socialization, and exercise. There's still work to be done to ensure that Portland seniors can safely access mass transit, that sidewalks are maintained and elder-friendly, that crosswalks are installed and allow adequate time for slower crossers, and that more education is done for seniors to encourage them to get out in the community and walk knowing their pedestrian rights. The Elders in Action Commission supports this vision and appreciates the work done by the bureaus involved, the Bicycle Transportation Authority, and the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition. The commission also supports this community policing agreement and your passage of this ordinance. Thank you.
Thank you.
And President and Commissioners, I'm Michael Morrison with Legacy Emanuel Hospital. I'm a trauma nurse, and I administer the Share the Road safety class, which started a little over 2 years ago. I also bring regards from Judge Christopher Larson, which is a partner in the Share the Road safety class. And we have provided some education to nearly 6,000 Portland residents since that has begun. We wouldn't be able to do that without the involvement of the Portland Department of Transportation and the Portland Police, as well as the community advocacy groups, the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, and Bicycle Transportation Alliance. I strongly support this community policing agreement as a obvious evidence of the police working within the community and providing the education that often isn't able to be provided at the roadside when the individual gets a ticket, or as Judge Larson would point out, at the bench when he's adjudicating these cases from the court. So the education that goes along with this agreement is a strong component of Portland's effort to continue to decrease injury and fatalities. Last year, it's evident that Portland has the lowest fatality rate since we've been keeping statistics, we are doing the right stuff. The other benefit that I've also seen is people that attend our education classes at Legacy have frequently made the comment that I'm glad the cop gave me a ticket, which is, a comment that you wouldn't normally expect, but people are actually learning to share the road and learning how to apply the laws and be safer in our community so that we can all users of the road can arrive to their destination safely. So I do strongly support this agreement and would encourage signatures.
Thank you. Would you please tell the viewers at home what the Share the Road program that you
The Share the Road safety class is for people that have received citations that have failed to yield the right-of-way to other users of the road. And so it's for car drivers, bicyclists, pedestrians. We've had skateboarders, scooter riders, and even a snowmobiler. And it's to provide the education on what the laws are and how to apply them, as well as a little motivation to try to promote safety. And so that's the class that's offered twice a month, and they have a one-time opportunity to have a citation dismissed and have the education in place of that citation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are no further testimony. We'll close the public hearing. Any questions, comments from council? I actually had a couple of questions, one for transportation and one for police. Did you have questions? And one, I think this is tremendous work, and obviously it's a lot of work that's gone into it, and it's very necessary. One of the questions I have is as far as when we determine that there are infrastructure improvements that are needed to improve safety at particular intersections or whatever, how do we prioritize which ones of those gets done first, and how do they get onto a capital improvements list?
Well, in general, a big source of information for us is crash data. How does this particular place compare with other places in our city? But crash data isn't always complete, and so we have to look at a broader picture. How are people using this space? How is the space itself set up, and how does that sort of just physical characteristic of it compare to other places where we have problems? And so in terms of prioritization, I mean, there's just a whole slew of policy, and then also programmatic areas where we need to look at how we can best use our limited resources to have the best influence on problems. So, some areas might be, for example, our Bicycle Boulevard efforts with the adoption of the Bike Master Plan. We can make significant safety improvements in residential neighborhoods in a fairly wide swath fairly easily, very high impact and broad. But some of the bigger locations, let's say Broadway and Flint, top crash location in the city for bikes for the past decade, much more expensive and complicated fix. And even though it's the top crash history, it's such a complicated fix that we're having trouble figuring out how to get that together. So it really becomes a process of both prioritization and then also practical reality to be able to have the best impact we can.
Thank you. And if citizens, whether they're drivers, cyclists, pedestrians, skateboarders, have a particular concern about a safety infrastructure issue, how can they get that to you?
Well, we have a traffic safety and neighborhood livability hotline, which is 823-SAFE.
823-SAFE.
Yes.
That, we should all be able to remember that. Thank
yes.
you. Because I know that this is a community policing agreement, and with community policing, it's all of us. It's not that the Bicycle Transportation Alliance or the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition or any particular entity is solely responsible. It's all of us.
That's right.
So 823-SAFE. Thank
yes.
you very much. And my question for the police is it legal to bicycle and skateboard downtown on the sidewalk?
In the downtown area, no, it's not. Inside the 405 loop, essentially, in the downtown core area, it's not legal to operate on the sidewalk. There's simply too many pedestrians. It creates such a safety hazard.
And what about outside of downtown? Is it legal to skateboard and bicycle on the sidewalk?
Yes.
And what are the guidelines that if pedestrians are concerned about unsafe bicycling or on the sidewalks, what are the rules that an officer would look at?
Well, a person who's operating a bicycle on the sidewalk, I think, needs to operate with a higher level of due regard. Keeping in mind that you are likely going to be the fastest moving object on that particular stretch of the roadway at the time, and much in the same way that they would expect the operator of a motor vehicle to pass them with care when they're on the roadway, when they're on the sidewalk, they are the fastest moving vehicle and should exercise a significant amount of care because we'll see families and small children, and the surface of the road even is much more unpredictable because it's not often maintained as well as the roadway.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
If there are no further comments or questions, please call the roll.
Leonard?
Well, thank you for all the good work that's been done behind this effort. I am familiar with Officer Pickett's work in the past. Having observed him and his interaction with the bike community, so I'm not surprised to see you be central in bringing all of this together. So I very much appreciate the work. Aye.
Fish.
I, too, want to thank everyone for their participation, and I thought that video was terrific. In fact, I have to confess, I learned a few things. And my pet peeve where I live in a residential part of Portland is just to get people in cars and in bikes to slow down at intersections. Because the truth is that increasingly people are not slowing down. They're going through, making a judgment. And they're doing so at different times of day when the lighting conditions are either good or bad for that. And you're taking a huge chance. And I just wish we could get the word out for people to come to a stop. And just make that habit. but I think I see both cars and cyclists, equal opportunity offenders on that. Sounds to me like that's a question of education and getting the word out. One request I would have is, can we get an electronic copy of that video? Or could we get a copy for those of us who want to maybe post it on our websites? Because I think it's a great service. I think it's really very informative. Thank you, Dan, and everyone who's worked on this. I vote aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank, again, the parties to this agreement, the Police Bureau, the Bicycle Transportation Alliance, the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, and the Bureau of Transportation. I think, as was said in the video, bicycle commuting has gone from outlaw edginess to mainstream, increasingly in this city. And one of the chief drawbacks, I think, as somebody who puts myself in that same category, is I don't feel safe on the road on a bike. And I think that's something that, the person missing today, Mayor Adams, I know is very committed to addressing these issues and making Portland and keeping Portland the most bike-friendly city in the nation. But I think the framework of this agreement and bringing the parties together to talk about solutions to problems, whether it's enforcement, engineering, or planning solutions, I think is really what we need to get us to that next level. But this really is about everybody sharing the right-of-way and doing it in a manner that treats people with respect, each other with respect, and keeps Portland safe. So I really laud this agreement. I want to thank, as I already thanked the parties, I just wanted to also acknowledge Brendan Finn, my chief of staff, who was the choreographer for today's event, and chief bicycle commuter in my office, too, for all his good work. Aye.
Fritz.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Saltzman. This is a tremendous report and a tremendous body of work. Thank you, Chief Sizer, for all your diligence and leadership of the Police Bureau. I do also want to commend Mayor Adams in his absence with his work, consistent work with the Bureau of Transportation and leadership on many of these issues. I was walking around downtown yesterday, and a young man went past on his skateboard, and having learned through the sidewalk management plan that indeed skateboarding on the sidewalk is not allowed downtown, I got him to take his iPod earplugs out so that he could hear me, and I said, excuse me, would you mind not skateboarding on the sidewalk? It's illegal, and it makes people like me nervous. And he looked at me, but then he got off his skateboard, and I thought, well, that worked well. Even more astonishing, as I was on my way back from Parker's Business Association this lunchtime, I'm on the MAX, and this same young man is carrying his skateboard downtown. So it is all about community policing. You know, it's about each of us speaking up, and we don't have to call 911 to get things done. We need to say these are public spaces, and we need to share them, and your behavior feels unsafe to me, if it indeed that is the case. And then also thinking about how is my behavior affecting others. I also came to find out over the course of the last 9.5 months that hitting a bicyclist is a Measure 11 offense, and you can go to jail for a very long time for that. And that is as good a reason as any for all drivers to be, well, it's not as good a reason as any. The best reason is to keep each other safe. But there is an interest for every user of the right-of-way to be looking out for others, whether it's the punishment or the incentive or just the community policing that we're all trying to do on this. So thank you all for your work. The Bicycle Transportation Alliance, the Willamette Pedestrian Coalition, Share the Road, so many different community partners who are working on this. And it is up to all of us to educate our friends, our neighbors, our other drivers that we need to share our public spaces. Aye. And with that, we are adjourned.